From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Deepak Bhatt, Senior Associate Editor for ACC.org. I'm filling in this week for Dr. Kim Eagle on Eagle's Eye View, your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. I think Dr. Eagle is still on vacation. That man really knows how to take a vacation. I think we could all learn a little bit from him. You should follow him on Twitter. He often posts where he is and what he's up to when he's on vacation. Well, let me get into this week's journals, and there's a lot of good stuff here. Let me start off with an article. It's from Tom Nealon and the folks right down the street at the Mass General, though I wasn't familiar with this work until I saw it here. Really interesting stuff. They've looked at the risk of sudden cardiac death among heart failure patients who have HIV. What they found was that people with HIV who are hospitalized with heart failure have a much higher risk of sudden cardiac death. That's pretty interesting in its own right. And they found that that particular risk was increased in folks with a lower ejection fraction. That's probably something you'd expect. But interestingly, also a higher risk of sudden cardiac death when the CD4 count was lower, and also with higher viral loads. So some really clinically relevant observations, I think. Next up is a paper from one of my colleagues here at the Brigham, Brian Bergmark. He examined in the SAVOR-TIMI 53 registry, and I should disclose that I was the co-PI of that particular study of saxagliptin versus placebo. But what he observed in this was an association between metformin use and outcomes, in particular, lower rates of mortality. While this particular study in Circulation isn't a randomized study, the reality is it's difficult to do a randomized study of metformin in people with diabetes these days because the guidelines really strongly endorse metformin as a first-line therapy, and maybe in the future that'll change with the SGLT2 inhibitors and GLP-1 agonists and other drugs coming down the pike, but for now, metformin, in addition to diet, is really first-line therapy for type 2 diabetes. The randomized metformin data is from a much older era, so really about the best we've got now are observational analyses such as this one. And it's interesting that there is this lower associated rate of all-cause mortality. Sure, some of it could be confounding, but even with lots of statistical adjustment, it seemed to still persist. Metformin also seemed to be safe in those with prior heart failure or moderate degrees of chronic kidney disease. So again, as best one can tell, in an observational study, metformin looked like a winner. There was an article I liked in Circulation, Cardiovascular Quality and Outcomes by Lin et al. Looking at an endovascular first approach to critical limb ischemia. And what they found was that an endovascular first approach was better than a surgical approach with respect to amputation-free survival. So at least I know the interventionalists in the audience are going to like that message. This is a propensity score analysis. It's not a randomized clinical trial. But since it shows what I already believe, I'm going to believe it. And the final thing I'm going to talk about is the forgotten valve meeting the neglected organ. Cardiohepatic interactions after transcatheter tricuspid valve repair. That is a nice editorial title by Neil Pham in JACC Cardiovascular Interventions. And I think he's hit the nail on the head. The tricuspid valve really is forgotten. It's like Rodney Dangerfield. It gets no respect, but it's an important valve, and when it's misbehaving, it can cause lots of problems. In particular, it can cause problems with the liver, which if you think about potential surgical repair can be a problem because those sorts of patients don't do so well with surgery and general anesthesia and that sort of thing. So a tough valve to treat. But fortunately, in JACC Cardiovascular Interventions, we've had a couple of articles showing the really good results of edge-to-edge valve repair, that is using the clip for tricuspid regurgitation. Mayer et al. Show data from the multicenter international trivalve registry with 249 patients, and they find very good degrees of tricuspid regurgitation reduction at a year, and an associated improvement in the patients clinically that was significant. So overall, tricuspid repair with the edge-to-edge transcatheter repair technology, or the CLIPS, looked pretty good. And also in JACC Cardiovascular Interventions, an article by Karam et al. That demonstrates the impact of these transcatheter tricuspid valve approaches, in particular these CLIPS, for severe tricuspid regurgitation in terms of improving kidney and liver function. Though to be precise, it was really liver function that improved. The kidney function stayed stable, but I kind of think of it as an improvement because in general, the kidney function tends to get worse in these sorts of sick patients with really severe tricuspid regurgitation. So much like we've seen a revolution in transcatheter approaches to aortic stenosis, and the same is happening with mitral regurgitation, I think the same is about to happen with tricuspid regurgitation. So a very exciting time, certainly, in dealing with valvular heart disease. So that's all I've got for you this week. Thanks very much for listening to this week's Eagle's Eye View, your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. All the topics I discussed today and more can be found on the American College of Cardiology's website. Please find us there or wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great week.